Next item is item 190.
Approve application under the Multiple Unit Limited Tax Exemption Program under the Inclusionary Housing Program for 82nd Avenue multi-use located at 1750 Northeast 82nd Avenue.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Dory Van Bockel, the Development Incentives Program Manager. Welcome.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Early. Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners, my name is Dory Van Bockel with Portland Housing Bureau, and we are here with yet another tax exemption to help incentivize inclusionary housing success with this particular project, providing 5 of the 78 units affordable for 99 years at 60% of median family income. It will be the 79th project with close to 600 units of private development that we've achieved with this program so far. I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Mayor. Commissioner Hersey has a question.
Thank you. Would you give me that data again? It was how many units at 60% of MFI?
For this particular project, it is 5.
5 units. And what's the total amount of units that are going up on this property?
78.
So 78 units, and we're going to get 5 at 60% of MFI. And so what is that income level? What is the income restrictions for folks who would qualify for that property?
I believe for a family of 4, it's around 48,000. I don't have the numbers at the top of my head, but.
And do we know what size the units are that will be available for folks at 60%?
Yeah, it's a mix of primarily studio and one-bedroom units, and there's two-bedroom units in the building, so one of those will be affordable.
So, Mayor, I will say that I'm just really not that satisfied with this particular program because it feels like we get a drop in the bucket. We're doing nothing to address really family units in this process. No disrespect to you and the work that you've done on this particular project, but I think it's time for us to actually look at this program and find out if we're really getting the benefit that we think that we're getting from this particular housing effort. As I've sit here and continue to approve these, 3 here, 4 here, most of them are studios, most of them are one incomes, and if there's a 70 unit apartment complex that's being built in a community that may or may not be gentrifying, I am concerned about how those people get access to food and whatever their self-care products are in that community. And so I just feel like we just keep doing these as nickel and dimes, but if we're not looking at the big picture and figuring out, are we really having an impact, or is there a better way for us to use our tax exemption opportunities to really have much more significant impact? Because I, as a whole, I'm just not seeing that we're getting the return that we desperately need on these kind of projects.
Very good. Dory, how would you respond to that?
Well, in a couple of ways. One is that outside of the central city, projects are only required to provide 8% of the total units if they're provided at the 60% MFI level or below. And so that's part of a program policy that was in place that will expire actually in another year or so. And after that time, the requirement will go up to 10% as it is in the rest of the city. And the same is for 80% units. We put in a temporary policy of 15% that will go to 20 throughout the city. And that was implemented by council as a means to ensure that the program did have some success and to help balance the amount of subsidy that developers do have to account for in providing the affordable units for 99 years. And so certainly it is a balance that we're looking at and we'll continue to look at with the program. And so that's one of the considerations that council can take in the future as to whether or not we'd want to extend or let that part, sail.
Commissioner Fritz.
Yes, I had a different way of reading the data that I have. We're getting 5 units. Three studios, 1 one-bedroom, 1 two-bedroom, at a cost of reduced property taxes of $22,787 over 10 years. So that's getting five units for, you know, 2,200 at the cost of 2,200. That seems like a lot cheaper than other things. And isn't this set by state laws to how much we can require?
Yes, it is. Well, at least that we cannot require more than 20% at 80% is the state requirement.
20%, 80%, and so we provide the other incentive to get it down.
Yes. Yeah, and so there are taxing incentives provided outside of the central city. It's true that the building only receives exemptions for the affordable units, so it's not a big amount on this particular project, and that's because the cost of construction is lower for a project outside of the central city. It's, you know, when we're getting into the central city with concrete, larger steel projects, then certainly that's why the decision in the development of the program was made to exempt all of the units in the building, because to outweigh the costs. So in this particular project, you know, there's only a total over 10 years of an estimated 70,000 of tax exemption provided for the 99 years that we'll receive of affordability out of those five units. There is a small amount of SDCs that will be exempted only for those five units, as well as a small reduction to the construction excise tax for those five units as well.
Commissioner Daly? Oh, sorry. Commissioner Hurst, do you have another question?
So at some point, I suspect we're going to have a full report, since the anticipated conclusion of this particular, you said that the exemption would change at the end of next year, right? So this would sunset?
Yes, as far as the required percentage of affordable units in each project, yes.
So I would really look forward to having a more detailed conversation about whether or not these nickel and dime developments really are helping us change the outcomes for folks in our community. And though I appreciate that the tax exemption is just for those units, I'm thinking about the people who are living in those units and whether or not those individuals are isolated, whether or not they're getting their needs met in those neighborhoods where those units are going up. And again, when you have 70 units and only three of them are quote-unquote affordable, and we all know that that's not even affordable at 60% of MFI, because basically we're talking an individual, and an individual would have to make, what, $40,000, $45,000 in order to qualify for these quote-unquote affordable units. And what we know is that people who are working two and three full-time minimum wage jobs don't qualify for those units at 60% of MFI. So I'm not saying it doesn't impact somebody, but what I'm saying is whether or not we're putting our resources in the right place to have the biggest impact for the most number of people. And every time I see these things, I'm left with that question. So thank you. Appreciate you being here. And again, nothing about this particular project, nothing about the presentation, but just overall as a policy, as a council, I think we have to reevaluate every step of the way whether or not we're getting a good return on our investment. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is there any public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, Maggie and Charles Bridge Green Johnson.
Good afternoon.
I'll take your word for it. Good afternoon. So, I think that one thing that would, you know, I know you're just always dying to hear me tell you how to be even better than the awesomeness you're doing. The best way to describe this location was to say 10 blocks south of Madison High School. Madison High School isn't really high schooling right now. It's on reconstruction. But you know, it's an interesting balance between the point that Commissioner Fritz raised, that we're only waiving $22,000-ish in property taxes, and yet we're getting 70-some apartments, and 8% of those will be set aside for people that are going to be at 60% of MFI. It's interesting to wonder where the rest of the people who are going to be paying market rate rents but aren't making 100% of MFI are going to come from. So this location, I know that the police raided a house not very far from this because of some activity to stop fascists in here. There's a park relatively close to this neighborhood. So I'm glad that we're doing something, but I do think that in addition to all the hard work the Housing Bureau and our Home Forward already have to do, Madam President Hardesty's questions really resonate with me of, okay, we're looking at these five units cut out to reach these 60% MFI people, but what's really going on in that neighborhood? On other agenda items, I think there was a project in Cully. The presenters talked about the diversity of that neighborhood and the different income levels that those people fell in, along with the information about what ethnicities were more common or less common in those neighborhoods. And I think that even though this is a small amount of money, $22,000, if we're really going to serve the people who have desperate and severe needs, it would help if the Housing Bureau could give us a little bit extra data about the big picture. And the testimony left it unclear as to whether the sunsetting of the 8% cap means that the 10% cap is going to spread to cover the whole city, or whether there's going to be no multi-coverage outside of the inner core of the city. So I hope that you all have some clarity or could share that with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And 60% MFI is what, about $53,000? So they're going to start with people who make $53,000. People on Social Security aren't getting $53,000 a year. People like me, they don't get $53,000 a year. That's why we're homeless. I would say that having gone through 20 pages of government property and looking at subsidized housing and Section 8, and knowing that, again, I will use the words I used at Metro, any rich jerk can go out and buy these contractor housing, and they can put in any manager, and those managers can be abusive to disabled people, black people, females, and, you know, gender, race, LGBTQ, and those people can be out on the street because they want to do something else with that. And I want us to get properties and put in managers that are going to have people who have been marginalized by society and are not socially connected and don't have power, and are going to help them stay in their housing or get their housing, because with an 80% compliance rate according to the contract, with them not even meeting 80% compliance rate, and then HUD looking the other way and saying, oh, you don't want to meet your compliance rates, and having a year to make their compliance rate, and year after year after year, they never meet their compliance to put people into housing, you know, the number of the equity targets that they're supposed to meet year after year after year, they don't meet them, and HUD looks the other way. And this is why we end up with a homeless problem. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. This is an emergency ordinance. Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Thank you for your work. Aye.
Hardesty.
And so I also appreciate us trying to do everything we can to improve opportunities for low-income folks to get housing. Just not sure this is the program that's actually going to help us make it happen. I vote aye today, but I'm going to be looking at these as these continue to come in front of us here at City Council. I'm going to continue to be asking really hard questions, because I really think it's important to say to not say that we're building a housing that people can afford to live in if we're saying it's at 60% of MFI and that's somewhere between $45,000 and $55,000 for an individual. I just don't think that we can actually, with a straight face, call that housing that people can afford to live in. So I vote aye.
Udaly?
Well, I want to thank you for your work, and I feel like we need to clarify a couple issues. There's a limit to what we can compel private developers to do. And so programs like inclusionary zoning and multi are designed to either require or incentivize affordable housing at the 60-80% level, which, while that does not serve the lowest income individuals are in our community, it certainly does help fill a massive gap that exists in that income segment. We need to do this as much as possible so that we can devote our public dollars to serving those who earn 0 to 30%, which has to be our priority for public dollars. So I'm very interested in the conversation as to whether or not we're getting a good return on our investment, which is the tax abatement. No.
Maggie, testimony is over.
We are voting.
No, testimony is over. I've called the roll. You cannot interrupt. Thank you.
Yeah, that's really unhelpful and disruptive. I think, like Commissioner Hardesty, I'm very interested in an analysis of what we are getting for that gift of a tax abatement, because I know it's a more complex equation than 10 years of tax abatement for X number of affordability years. So I'm happy to support it. Interested in more conversation, I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Good conversation, good discussion. And Dory, if you could reach out to my fellow commissioners' offices and give them the opportunity to ask further questions, that would be helpful. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you. Next item is